Hey East Meets West listeners, in this episode we're looking at the China tech space. The last year and a half has seen some pretty massive drops across China tech companies, but recently there has been a resurgence. We unpack the reason behind the initial bearish view of China tech and give our thoughts on China tech's long-term outlook. Keep listening and enjoy. Welcome to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. My name is Dan. Joining me, as always, from Astral Ventures, Albert, how are you doing?
Dan, I'm going good. Someone posted on Twitter the other day asking who to speak to about Asia tech, and then someone tagged me in that. So I was like, word's getting around. This is excellent.
Word is getting around. It reminds me of us sitting on a park bench and someone randomly coming up to you asking, you Albert from Twitter? So you're just getting it from all directions, Albert.
That's yeah, it's a good throwback, but maybe let's move on from my minor celebrity status to talk about this kind of short form episode.
Yeah, so again, sort of a shorter form hit, giving you a condensed form of insights on a pretty focused topic. In this week's episode, we are looking at China tech and really the question whether a rebound is on the cards for 2023. As I guess some background for those that don't know, China tech has had a really sort of down year since 2022, sort of broad numbers. You know, if you're looking at some of the indexes that track the largest tech companies in China, you know, depending which index you look at, different numbers, but I'm looking at the Hang Seng Tech Index. It's down 22% from a year ago, down over 50% from 2 years ago, but in the last 3 months, up 46%. So this is, I think, quite sort of topical when you look at the trend from the last year or so, really big downturn, and now a big question mark. Is this bounce, something that's going to continue and be sustainable, or is it going to downturn again? So in this episode, we're just going to easy structure. First question, what happened to China tech in 2022? Second question, what do we think is going to happen for 2023? Albert, do you want to set the scene? What happened last year that caused such a decline in China tech stocks?
Yeah, so maybe if I go even back further than last year, just to quickly set a high-level context. Obviously, China's done incredibly well in the past decade, you know, a lot of globalization, free trade has really lifted China from like an emerging nation to a global powerhouse. I think just to contextualize this, the median growth rate in a couple of countries, Australia, China, the US, over the last 20 years, Australia's median growth rate, GDP is 2.6, the US 2.3, China 8.3. So you can really see like 6 percentage points more than, you know, Australia and the US to show how strong China's really risen by free trade, a lot of, you know, companies investing in China, offshoring, manufacturing, outsourcing into China. I think last year specifically, we saw a lot of interesting macro trends in China. I've kind of bucketed them into a few here. You know, first is like the decline of the US-China relationship. I don't know if decline is the right word because it was never really that strong. But, you know, throughout, you know, China's course in the last decade or so, they've been investing heavily in military spending. They're really exerting a lot of power in the South China Sea. And as the Hong Kong riots, as, you know, the semiconductor war really started to heat up, China continued to exert pressure in neighboring countries like, you know, Taiwan, the Philippines, Hong Kong, etc., just to maintain its status in the South China Sea. Then you've got, and as part of that, you know, cyber warfare and issues around election manipulation. You know, recently a couple of campuses in the US have banned TikTok on the network. And so if you're connected to the Wi-Fi of a few universities in the US, you can't access TikTok because there's concerns around data privacy and the Chinese government doing like mass surveillance on US citizens. Also, if you've got a government device, you can't download TikTok. So there's a real concern in the US around, you know, cyber issues and the collection of data. And then, you know, very specifically COVID zero and the COVID zero policy in China has led to like quite a lot of lockdowns, a slowdown, you know, in economic activity, you know, lockdowns and prevention of trade inflow and people inflow in and out of China. And all these things have really impacted both manufacturing, trade, but also just the inflow of capital from external sources into China.
Yeah, and I think those are two of the big ones to hit. Zero COVID, essentially sort of the name of the policy which China was implementing, came unstuck about a month or so ago by Xi Jinping. I think another thing to sort of just touch on there, Albert, is the tech regulatory environment in China. Last year there was, well, even before last year, there was a big crackdown. Jackie Ma, you know, the founder and CEO of Alibaba and sort of Ant Group, the broader network, he was floating a potential IPO of the sort of financial part of Alibaba, and that got pulled essentially by the Chinese government, and Jackie Ma hasn't really been heard publicly from since. And that, I think, was kind of like the starting gun for what was a bit of a chilling effect where broadly, China was taking a much more robust stance towards the big, big tech companies, essentially thinking that they're a little bit too powerful and just wanting to rein them in. And there's been a series of regulations to that effect. Some have affected some of the big gaming companies like Tencent, which there's now approval processes that have to go through for games to get published and released. And those were sort of held up. There were age restrictions on games. You know, if you're below 18, you could only play a couple hours every day or a week. So really kind of limiting playtime for people under the age of 18. And then even on the sort of social media and other side of things, legislation, which essentially required them to provide their algorithms, the big tech companies' algorithms, to public authorities so that they can check that there's certain safeguards there in terms of privacy, data protection, disinformation, and the like. So all of that really spooked a lot of people. And I think a combination of what we've been talking about here, Albert, precipitated that big decline that we mentioned at the top.
Yeah, I think there's like the spooking part and what people infer from like the CCP's actions based on these regulatory changes. It's like Jack Ma's been, you know, a pretty big outspoken critic of the government. And now he's in, what they're saying, like self-imposed exile in Japan. You know, recently the Chinese government took what they call golden shares, like controlling shares in both Alibaba and Tencent that effectively allow them to veto any decisions made by, you know, the management team or the board. So even though they're not majority shareholders, you know, they're ignoring this like one share, one vote rule. They've got a very small minority interest around 1%. But it gives them basically control over the entire organization. I think when you combine that and the potential for the Chinese government and the CCP to control all of these ginormous businesses like Alibaba and Tencent and the broader environment that China's in, I think it has really spooked a lot of people, a lot of investors, and they've decided to pull out or shift allocation away from China.
So we've set the scene, Albert, and I think this is where we can kind of get into what's going to happen next, particularly this year, but also a little bit more long-term where we sort of think the projections are for China tech. And I think to set things up, we were discussing before we started recording, you're, I think, a bit more glum or negative on the outlook compared to me. So let's draw the battlegrounds here, Albert. What's the point of difference, do you think, between us two on this one?
I don't know if it necessarily is a specific point of difference, but if I think about those four kind of big points we've outlined around the US-China relationships, COVID, the broader macro environment, this like regulatory impact and the challenge, if I look at those four factors and I just say, are those things getting better or worse? And I can step through them. But on a whole, I think they're going to be worse. And I think given where China sits in the global context, that means to me that as like an index of these companies, that they're probably going to be performed or perceived by the market negatively rather than positively. So you were talking about like the Hang Seng Index. There's also like S&P China, MSCI China Tech. Like, do I think they're going to be, you know, the same, better or worse at the end of the year? I'm going to just draw a stake in the line and say I think they're going to be worse.
Okay, so let's go through these maybe sort of one by one-ish. And perhaps I'll sort of put a challenge to you and I really want to hear your take on it. So on the first point, China-America relations, you know, what came to mind immediately was DJI, a company which both of us really, really love. And you should definitely check out, if you're listening, the breakdown we did on DJI a couple of months ago. They've recently come under fire for sanctions where essentially, you know, they're providing drone technology and actual physical hardware predominantly to America. That's one of the biggest markets. And they've got sort of sanctions which are blacklisting them from certain government organizations and stuff from purchasing their products. That to me is a tangible example of, okay, China-America relationships are really impacting DJI as a business. But if I think more broadly at some of the tech players in China, they're looking at China. They've got a billion plus people there. That's where their focus is. So Albert, why are the conditions between America and China kind of affecting the more domestically focused China tech players?
I think that, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but I think I agree as a whole that all of these companies, their main customer set is predominantly like Chinese or based in the region. I think, however, some of these companies are dually listed in the US. It's like Alibaba is a good example where they've got this like kind of strange structure. They've got US listing. You know, there's a few other companies that we've covered, like Pinduoduo, who also have a very similar thing. I think when you've got your shareholders who are sometimes based in the US or Hong Kong, and there's inflow of capital that lets these companies then, you know, access high volumes of investment to then grow their business, and now that capital started to pull away, I think then there's going to be downstream implications on like how quickly this business can grow and what services it can offer. So previously, these businesses have grown incredibly well because they had cheap capital, they could quickly scale a consumer business, and they've become these super apps, right? The combination of cheap capital plus huge market size meant that they can build a giant super app. But when that's not necessarily true when it comes to cheap capital, and the competitive landscape in China has become more intense because there's more of these super apps, I think that's a challenge for their growth.
Yeah. On one of the second factors, Albert, COVID restrictions, this is one where I thought we might have a bit more alignment. Obviously, Xi Jinping's sort of reversed the decision. Now China's opening up. In the short term, I think there's big ramifications for that. There's been stories about the level of COVID spread in China at the moment and what that's doing to the population and, you know, medical facilities, etc. You know, I tend to think that that's going to be a short-term thing. Obviously, as people get infected, then they gain immunity, and it's not something to be taken lightly. But if we're just taking a look at overall, I think now that people are sort of getting put back to work, they're going to have more disposable income. Consumerism is going to start pumping up. And if you're a big tech company like Pinduoduo, who relies on these sales, who relies on consumerism, to me, that's a healthy sign, a healthy outlook for the year to come.
Yeah, it's hard to say that though, because while I do believe that like this is good for China internally, like there's a lot of things here that are still spooky for particular investors. So it's like, do people have confidence in China knowing that they have, you know, backflipped on their COVID zero policy and they have gone back into lockdown really quickly? Do travelers have confidence in China and going there as a visit, knowing that they've already got these concerns? Do regulators and other organizations have confidence in China to deliver their goods and all these things? So I think that's a concern where I tend to be more negative. I think the other thing is like inflation, China's been relatively low because of lockdowns, because there's been very limited economic activity. Inflation has been much lower compared to, say, the US, where inflation is, you know, quite high. Once, you know, economic activity in China starts to increase, are they going to experience the same rapid levels of inflation as the US has? And then that's another worry about how does that impact then tech companies? And we've seen how that's impacted tech companies in Western markets.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Albert. And that takes us to your third factor, sort of the macro environment that's affecting not only China, but the rest of the world, rising inflation rates. It's really hard to borrow cheap money, or you can't really borrow cheap money at the moment. But you hit on an interesting point there, Albert, because we're not just looking at China businesses, we're looking at tech. So tell us a little bit, like, how does a high inflation environment affect tech players, particularly compared to, you know, if you're running a brick and mortar business?
Basically, investing is you're buying future cash flow. And so when interest rates are really high, that means you can get a return in bond markets, etc. And so that means the return you generate from more riskier assets, like unprofitable tech companies, that return has to be really high. So if that's not true, then people are going to allocate back towards lower risk investments than high risk investments. So when you have rising interest rates, people are going to over-index in less riskier options because they know they can get a return.
Yeah. Well, and I know we covered, I think, the regulatory environment on the top, Albert. So maybe as we just sort of wrap up here, any final observations as you look to, you know, the question, is China tech going to rebound in 2023?
Yeah, I don't want to use like TikTok ByteDance as a proxy for like US-China relations or China tech, but I think because of how front of mind TikTok is across kind of media, social media, politics, etc., I think that is a good proxy for US-China relations and China tech broadly. And given how like negative people are, you know, just writing about TikTok or there's negative reactions to it, and I think these reactions are going to get much worse. I think you can almost use that TikTok as a case study this year as to how other US-China relations get better or worse. And I think they get worse.
I think the fundamental problem of this question that we're answering, Albert, is, you know, you can't predict these things, particularly if you time gate it just to 2023. But where I'm sort of sitting is I do think that this is going to be a, when we look back in 10, 20 years, this is going to be seen as a healthy period of regrowth for the China tech ecosystem. So overall, I'm quite positive about it. If we're looking at, you know, what a trend might be, particularly represented through a company, if you look at something like Tencent, which we've covered, and it has just this ecosystem where it's partly, you know, it is a shareholder in some of the biggest names like JD.com, et cetera. So it's this big, big player. I think the business logic for these companies is changing. Chinese tech giants, which were meant to have this big ecosystem and acquiring all of these different lines of business, I think that might be coming to a close. And instead, the logic, I think, has to be much more conservative in terms of focusing on their core products and where they can actually get revenue, Albert, as you were sort of mentioning, the difficulties of just continuing on lines of credit. So I think they're going to scale back from some of their non-core businesses, looking at future trends like cloud, which both Tencent and Alibaba are pushing into and are big revenue generators. We actually see that in the West from Google and some of the others. So I think there's trends there which are ultimately going to be really healthy for China tech in the future.
I think like the better question is like if you had a dollar, would you put it into the China tech index, like a US tech index right now?
I'd probably put it in China. What about you?
Probably the US.
There you go. East versus West.
There we go. There we go.
All right, well, let's finish up there, Albert. Thank you for listening to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. See ya.